Hey, hello, what's up, and welcome into this week's episode of the Geek Garage Podcast, where we are becoming paranormal investigators again. David, show founder, is with me here. Say hello.
Oh, hello.
Thank you, Ping. how have you been? It's been a while since I've been on the podcast. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we recorded a couple of episodes kind of back-to-back to kind of get them in the can, and because we knew that you had some stuff coming up and wouldn't be
precluded
available
this podcast. Yeah,
so we got a couple in advance, and then I did the last week's episode with my buddy Ian on WandaVision. So yeah, it's definitely been a while. But to answer your original question, which is how I have been doing, I've been doing pretty good. All seasonal allergies aside,
yes,
I'm, you know, hanging in there. Yeah. How are you doing?
It is the allergy Armageddon start of the year.
God, here
shortly with it warming up. Yeah, well, I'm, you know, so I got sick because it was like 15 degrees for a week. And then the next week it was like 75. Yeah. So I got sick and then I got over it. And then immediately after getting over it, allergies started. So I mean, you know, all things considered, every day above the dirt is a good one, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
Hard to bitch too much, but that's how I've been. Like I said, on this week's episode, we are going back to our informal paranormal series. This is part number 5. That is the number after 4.
And the one before 6.
Yes, that is correct. this is on cryptozoology. It is one of the most prolific and notorious pseudosciences around. Notice that we said pseudosciences and not scientific study. That
yes,
will
that
become
is
a very important point that is brought up multiple times. That said, I mean, I'm pretty excited for it. I like talking about this shit.
Yeah, David, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you agree. You just said that. So
sorry, I didn't realize that you were going to bounce it back to me and be like, hey, quick thoughts on it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. None of this matters. We're all going to die cold and alone.
well, grim,
thank
but
you.
True.
Real, yes. Real quick, before we get started on the real sad part of the episode, sad boy hours, I want to send a big thank you to all of our subscribers, both current and long-term, as well as new subscribers. As David and I have talked about on several episodes now, probably to the point of exhaustion, we have been getting a lot of listens lately. Comparatively speaking to what we're used to, which means that you've been telling your friends or paying people off to listen to. And in another event, we're cool with that. Thank you.
And also Pandora is still a thing, turns out.
Yeah, I did not know Pandora was still a thing.
Yeah, it was just a quick like reference point. Back in December, like our hosting service prompted us like, hey, would Pandora is now like offering podcasts. Would you like to hook up your podcast to Pandora and have it offered? And we're like, well, more the merrier. And like through January to now, Pandora has been the top streamed service out of all the streaming services. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. I don't know. It's cool that more people want to listen to us. It's also weird that more people want to listen to us because why? I don't understand that. But that's, you know, thank you again to everyone, old and new alike. Quick refresher on the Informal Paranormal series. As with our previous episodes, we are not going to be doing a lot of deep diving. We're going to basically just be scratching the surface on this topic of cryptozoology and cryptids.
Yeah,
so please bear with us, particularly if you are more into it, let's say, than we are, and or more knowledgeable than us, which is inevitably true. Speaking of inevitabilities, we're going to leave things out because, like I said, this is definitely just a surface level reading. We are not a true crime or
paranormal,
you know, informal paranormal or informal. We are the informal paranormal people. We're not a true crime or paranormal focused podcast. This is just something we do for shits and gigs. So if we leave out your favorite stuff, go ahead and just deal with that. Just deal with it because it's not going
to
change.
But
you
to be
fair, you know the quality you get from us.
But to be fair, like we did throw out a Facebook poll saying, hey, like, let us know your favorite cryptids because the cryptozoology episode is coming up from our informal paranormal series. And if you give us one to talk about, we will do our best to talk about it. And yeah, that's that's pretty much where we got all the ones that we're going to talk about today.
Yes, because we were going to talk about Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and then call it a day.
And then, thank
for
God,
better or worse, our listeners were like, nah, bruh.
Yeah, thank God we had a couple folks spring to the rescue. So,
yeah, but we'll put a pin in that real quick. And David, do you have anything else that you want to cover before we jump into the episode?
I think that's pretty much it. I'm excited. Let's go ahead and kick it off.
All right, well then hit that muzak.
All right, boop.
Okay, so we talked about the Facebook poll, which basically saved our asses from the proverbial fire.
Accurate.
Yeah. So, David, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I, of course, posted in the Facebook group, you know, asking people for their suggestions on cryptids and really anything else that falls into the cryptozoology paranormal schema. Per se, and this one actually didn't get as much traction as one I was expecting and two hoping, but we did get some responses and definitely enough to go off of, or at least as a jumping off point for me doing the research and then Ted reacting to said research.
Yes, because I am the talent. I don't do things like research.
Right. I'm the fucking nerd around here with the Star Wars collector cups. So yeah, we threw out that, well, it wasn't really a poll. It was more of a conversation kind of
the status update.
Yes. Where I said, hey, let me know your favorite cryptids. And
David at Geek Garage is feeling pensive.
I don't know really anyone that uses those like thoughts anymore. Like Facebook offers a lot of things to use for your posting and status updates. And like one of them is like, you're feeling amused or feeling excited or feeling depressed. And
I think that's like a layover from what MySpace used to do. That's probably some old like legacy stuff that Facebook has that they've just never taken off.
Hmm. Yeah. I know that Facebook introduced it. I don't think they had it always, or maybe they had it in like an earlier version. They got rid of it and then they brought it back a couple years ago.
I haven't had Facebook in almost a decade, so I don't know, but that I definitely remember that was the thing on MySpace where you could have the emoji with the text representation of your feelings as well.
Right.
We're getting way off track. That's nothing to do with cryptozoology.
Well, you know, if our listeners were tuning in for a couple of jabronis that stayed on topic, then they...
You get what you fucking deserve.
they done fucked up. But anyways,
you done goofed.
Getting back to the topic at hand. So Facebook conversation we started, and we had a, I'm going to give two shout outs. One goes to Jeremiah G and the other goes to Miranda H. They were the two most prolific, I guess, for lack of better words, commenters. They gave us a lot to go off of. And so I just wanted to give a quick shout out to those two. If you happen to be listening, one, thank you for listening. And two, thank you for the suggestions. It was a great jumping off point. And
yes, you basically did this episode for us.
I mean, as far as finding out the cryptids that like mean the most or are the most noteworthy. Yeah. But like, you know, I still had to. I don't think I could be like, oh yeah, that one sounds familiar, and then talk about it for 5 minutes. Like, I could fill it with like ums and likes, but it wouldn't be a great cohesive 5 minutes.
That's fair.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, we do have, or they did give us a lot to go off of. So thank you too. We greatly appreciate it. So yeah, all of our cryptids that we are going to talk about today are basically the ones that were thrown out at us.
Like yeah. I said, once again, thank you for programming for us.
it's excellent. Any work that I do not have to do myself is...
That's good work.
It is great work. So yeah, we're gonna go ahead and dive into it. Just a little bit of background and historical stuff for you in terms of cryptozoology and cryptids. It was originally founded in the 1950s by zoologists Bernard Wavelmans and Ivan T. Sanderson. Wavelmans published a book called On the Track of Unknown Animals. And that was published in 1955. It was a landmark work among cryptozoologists that was followed by a bunch of other stuff that came after it. However, even though that was around, you know, the mid 50s, the term cryptid wasn't coined until like 1983. And that was coined by cryptozoologist J.E. Wall in the summer issue of the International Society of Cryptozoology newsletter. God, I tried to say it with a straight face, couldn't do it.
Yeah, it sounds like something you get out of the back of a bad comic book, doesn't it?
it really does. Like, yeah. What were those old books like that in the 20s and 30s that, what's his name, H.P. Lovecraft had his stories published in? Do you remember those? They were like magazines or like little. Yeah.
It sounds like that. That's a good pull. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I guess that little mini documentary is still kind of fresh in my brain that I was able to.
The International Society of Cryptozoology sounds like a high school club that everybody graduated from and then couldn't let go. Like, it's 100% just 10 guys in the greater metro area of some mid-sized American city, right?
Right.
It's like a bunch of dudes who all went to high school in St. Louis together that saw a bear once without its fur and were like, oh, fuck, what is that? Like, that's got to be what this is, right?
Right, and you see him at a Pandora, and if you didn't know any better, it'd just be the International Society for Neckbeards.
My interests include waifus and Bigfoot. I want to party with that guy, actually. He sounds like... He sounds like a cool dude. I'll go to Looney Bin with you. I don't give a fuck.
It's the fucking king of the jungle. I mentioned the dude, J.E. Wall, who was the dude that coined the term cryptid. According to him, he felt that the term needed to be coined so as to refrain from using other like misleading terms such as monster, which is fair.
Yeah, cryptid sounds so much less menacing than monster.
Right, like, hey, we're going to use this term instead of monster because it's less threatening. Oh, okay, what is it? Cryptid. I'm not any less scared than
you picked basically the one word that is more off-putting than monster.
That's a thing. But yeah, the Oxford English Dictionary defines the noun cryptid as an animal whose existence or survival to the present day is disputed or unsubstantiated. Holy shit. Any animal of interest to a cryptozoologist. And that seems like an apt definition.
Yeah, that's a good one. They could have just said fake and saved everybody like two sentences, but sure. Right. I mean, if you want to be technical about it, and that's their job. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, things like woke and other crazy nonsense New Age words are being added to the Oxford English Dictionary on a regular basis. But hey, for the most part, it's still a pretty good book.
Yeah, tough read though.
Right. It made me think of that scene in Dodgeball where Dwight is coming down the stairs and he's reading the dictionary and she's like, "Are you reading the dictionary?" He's like, "Huh, you caught me. I like to break a mental sweat too." Fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's a funny one. So now that we have some background, let's such as it is, let's dive right in to these not monsters.
Right. They're not. Yeah.
Let me go ahead and say a few things before we get started. Number one, they're going to sound a lot like monsters, but this dude, J.E. Wall, in 1983 decided that wasn't the case, so we're safe. That's first of all. Second of all, and I cannot stress this enough, despite how much they're going to sound like monsters, they are not. They're cryptids.
Right. It's very important that we get that. It's
very important. We do not want to shit on the memory of J.E. Wall, who I'm assuming is... I just assume he died. I don't know why I think that.
I mean, a quick Google search might be able to tell us.
No, okay, all right, I'm going to do it right now.
All right.
Wall. Let's see. This is
the You're
kind of
my
stuff everybody...
Wonderwall.
Let's see. J.E. Wall Victoria Manor Apartments in Riverside, California. Do not think that is correct.
Yeah, I don't think that's what we're looking for.
He's dead. Fuck it. Y'all don't know. That's fucking fucked.
All right, we'll just assume that he is no longer with us.
R.I.P. to what I presume was a real one.
He got mauled by Bigfoot.
Yes, who is not a monster. I want to really stress that point.
Right.
You know, these cryptids, look, make your own decisions, but this is bullshit. This is all bullshit. It has to be all bullshit, right, David? Can I get an amen here, please?
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry to Jeremiah and... Miranda, a.k.a. Frick, for, you know, thanks for doing all this work for us. Now we're going to shit on it for the next 35 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, I was texting Ted a couple days ago when we first started preparing notes, a.k.a. when I was preparing notes and I was texting Ted about it. And I was like, so this is going to be the episode where I pull a Ted and Ted will pull a Ted. Because up until now, like, Ted has been the skeptic, like, he plays that part, and then I play the part of, you know, I
you're Mulder and I'm Scully, except much less attractive in both cases.
That is quite accurate. it's scary how accurate it is. But yeah, I texted him. I was like, there's no way that I can play like devil's advocate here in these cases, because each cryptid after the next, like, I just found myself laughing hysterically. Like, I would read a description and be like, fucking, of course he does this.
But of course, obviously he's got 15-foot long claws. Why wouldn't he?
Right.
Not a monster though.
Not a hashtag not a monster.
Not all monsters.
Hashtag, what you trying to do, Satan?
This is the episode we get canceled. Finally, fuck it, I don't care.
Right, cryptids and cryptozoology episode out of all of them.
Right, that's the... Really? Anyway, first up we have the Loveland Frog.
Yeah, it's not the Lovely Frog, it's the Loveland Frog.
I'm sure it's horrifying. It's also known as the Loveland Frogman or Loveland Lizard. Apparently this creature gets around. Frogs and lizards, not the same thing, but okay. All right. I'm with it so far. It's part of Ohioan folklore, David. That is from the state of Ohio.
Yes, I believe that's what it means.
Anyway, Ohio's cool but weird. case in point, this is part of their folklore, like I said. Initial sightings of this, I'm using this term very loosely, I want you all to know, listeners, legendary humanoid frog, were allegedly spotted in Loveland, Ohio. You know, that's where it gets the name, of course, because if you called it the Ohio Frog, that would be fucking stupid. And those date back to 1955, which is a fair bit of time ago. I would wager the guess that that's much older than anyone listening to this podcast.
Most likely.
That's probably older than anyone who knows what a podcast is.
Yeah. I mean, I think back to, you know, our time at GalaxyCon and people walking by, and, you know, the people either knew what podcasts were or they didn't, and the people that didn't know were, you know, to put it bluntly, fucking old
boomers.
which is why we had the boomer grab bags.
Yeah, there was the one older gentleman who was like, oh, it's a podcast, and I then tried to explain to him what a podcast was by saying, yes, it's like the radio but on the internet. He was not amused. Therefore, he did not get a button or a grab bag. Fuck that guy. No, I'm kidding. Right. If you're listening, dude, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
David, any other thoughts on the Loveland Frogman?
I suggest if you are not familiar with the Loveland Frog, to just Google it.
Why would you be?
Right. Yeah. Just Google it and have fun looking at like the artist rendering of it's basically like a frog with human legs. It is so
great. Terrifying.
I mean, it is kind of terrifying, but hilarious.
You
know, at the same time.
Raise a good point that I'm going to go ahead and bring up. Maybe it's a little premature, but I'm going to bring this up anyway. How many of these cryptids can be explained by one neckbeard that's a furry?
Maybe
the answer is all of them, right? With the exception of maybe the Loch Ness Monster, which would be a pretty committed motherfucking furry. All of these, right?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, it's just some weirdo dude with a kink. Look, I'm not supposed to kink shame. It's this whole thing with my girlfriend where apparently I'm a judgmental bigot. I don't know, whatever. I'm kink shaming these people. All right, that's what's happening right now.
They'll get over it.
Yeah, or they won't. And frankly, I don't care.
Right, we got the chupacabra coming up next.
Chupacabra.
This one I cannot say the name of without just laughing, at least internally, because like
it's a dope name.
It's
until you know what it means.
it's in Spanish. Apparently, it literally means the goat sucker.
I'm not even going to make a joke about that. It speaks for itself. But, yeah.
I don't even know what to do with that. Like, when I learned
that. We're just going to move on. That's what we're going to do with that. No. David, tell us about the two common versions of La Chupacabra.
The Chupacabra. We got two common versions. The first is the reptilian kind that's known as the, quote-unquote, true Chupacabra.
The Trupacabra, if you will.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It's a portmanteau.
Oh, shit. Okay, and then the second kind, the lesser known, I guess, is the canid kind, which are also called blue dogs.
The blue pacabras, if you will.
Blue pacabras.
It's a pun. Yeah. So... David, let me cut in, if I may, while you recover.
Cut in.
The true kind. I'm using these words loosely. The reptilian kind. Okay. All right. That sounds like a cryptid. Okay. I'll give you that. I don't believe in it, but Yeah, I can see how that would be frightening. And then the second kind, the canines, the blue dogs. Are we sure those are just coyotes?
I am not sure.
I'm not... That sounds like a joke, but I assure you, dear listeners, it is a very serious question. Are we sure it's not just some drunk dude who's like, the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's quite possible that they're just some coyotes just hanging out and they went crazy on some goats. And and they were like, who sucked all these goats? It was that damn chupacabra, I tell you. I'll tell you.
It's definitely not the weird dude down the street, right? It's got to be a demon thing. Right. Not a monster, though.
Right. It's not the neckbeard down the street just sucking off goats.
With the goat waifu pillow, motherfucker. All right. The first known attacks, quote unquote, were in March of 1995 in Puerto Rico, of all places.
Right.
Where 8 sheep were discovered dead, each completely drained of blood.
They were sucked dry.
Sucked them dry.
They were Ooh. Sucked and fucked.
Well, at least...
one of them. One out of two.
One of the
bad.
Two. That's 50%, baby. Hey, 50% in baseball is Hall of Fame numbers, okay?
Right. Yeah, we're playing 500 baseball, baby.
Investigators found 3 strange puncture wounds in the chest of the animals. Those are the fuck holes, I presume. Oh my god, what is...
Whoa,
I used to be... I don't know what happened to me.
What will become of me? Yeah.
David, please take it up.
Okay. So, a lady by the name of Madeline Tolinto, I believe is how her name is pronounced.
Tolentino.
right, the ninth film by Tolentino. But yeah, so she was the first to cite the chupacabra, not a monster. Keep that in mind. Yes. Her eyewitness description has been the basis for most of the drawings that we see. Like, if you were to Google chupacabra, then most of the artist renderings and drawings that you will see come from her her sighting of the creature, not monster. So there's that. Cool. Good job on Tolentino.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, I don't know really much more than this in regards to the chupacabra. I know it's one of the more well-known of the cryptids, but I don't know. I guess in the sense of full disclosure, I did the most research on the ones that piqued my interest the most. So,
right,
like, coming up next, we have Bigfoot / Sasquatch. I did a lot of research. The granddaddy
of them all.
Right. Mm. And then the Mothman, I did a lot of research on it.
I can assure you that regardless of the amount of research David may have done, our irreverent opinions and jokes and snide remarks will continue.
Yes. Those will stay. So,
and those are free. You get those for nothing. So,
yeah. And we hope you like them, because they're not going anywhere. They're all we got.
Yeah. David does not speak for me. I don't care if you like him or not. You're getting them anyway.
Yeah.
Like I said, the granddaddy of them all, Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, the Sam Squanch.
Yeah.
These have been sightings of this creature have been recorded all over the world, David. Everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. He gets around. Which, you know, I mean, he's got big feet, so I'm assuming he takes long strides.
Yes. You know who ended up seeing Bigfoot was Jack Black. Look into the Sasquatch eye, then know the Sasquifly. He wants to protect me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pick a destiny. That was a lovely rendition. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Bigfoot has different titles. There we go. Depending on the country where it's from, in Central Asia, it is known as Almas.
Mm-hmm.
And is said to inhabit the mountain regions of Pamir and Caucasus, as well as the Mongolian mountain range Altai, which really it's just Genghis Khan, he got lost. sightings date back as early as the 15th century. That's a long fucking time ago. How old is this goddamn thing?
It's been Hibagon. Around a while.
Hibagon. I'm actually not sure you pronounce this Japanese name. We're going to say Hibagon, which is almost certainly incorrect. It is said to live on Mount Hiba of the Hiroshima Prefecture. For those of you who have taken a history class, and remember, some bad shit happened there. So that explains a lot, actually, about why there's a giant ape creature.
Right.
Not much is known about this, but some say it fits the typical Bigfoot profile. Apparently, he is a stinky boy.
Stanky. He's got that stanky foot.
Yeah, which is said to be true of all of the various Bigfoot iterations.
Right.
The Batutat, or Ujit, thought to inhabit the Vu Quang Nature Reserve and other wilderness areas of Vietnam, Laos, and northern Borneo.
Man, you are killing it with these pronunciations. Usually I stumble and bumble all over my fucking words.
David, the secret is
don't be an
anything
idiot.
Sounds cool as long as you say it confidently. It's probably wrong, but as long as I say it like I know what I'm talking about, people will be like, yes, he sounds enlightened and cultured.
Yes, shouted some podiatry.
Indeed. The skunk ape.
Or the not macaque. Not a typo.
That's macaque. Miyagi.
The bukkake ape.
Miyaka ape, or skunk ape. Reported in the southeastern United States, including Texas, Georgia, and Louisiana, but most notably in the Everglades, which is just, it's really just Florida man at that point. So.
Right, yeah.
Excuse me, I need to take a drink. There's so many of these goddamn things.
I can take over if you'd like.
By all means, good sir.
Okay. Yeah, so next we got Sasquatch, which, you know, can or is used interchangeably with Bigfoot a lot of the time, but in my research, it turns out that Canada and North America is where Sasquatch is used the most. So there's that. Swamp Stalker of Boggy Creek. It's also known as the Folk Monster or Southern Sasquatch. And this is, this revolves around a large brown humanoid that lives in Folk, Arkansas. So, yeah, Arkansas, they got that going for them. They got their own version of Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Florida.
Something, I guess.
That it'd be cool if that was like their state animal. Like, screw.
Yes,
like
a fake animal for a fake state.
Arkansas, real? What kind of state says Arkansas and there's an S at the end?
There's already a Kansas. Why would there be an Arkansas? You're not fooling me, U.S. government.
That's fake news.
Fake news. Much like birds, which are also not real.
Right, or dolphins.
Yes. No, dolphins are sadly real, but...
yeah, anyways, moving on. So the Yeren is native to China, variously referred to as the Yeren, Chinese wild man or man monkey.
The last one, very creative nickname.
Yes. I don't know if I'd be able to come up with that one by myself. Mm. The Yeren is a mysterious primate living in the mountains of China, with the most of the sightings coming from the remote Hubei province.
Hubei.
Then there's the Yeti. There's another one that a lot of people are familiar with, also known as the Abominable Snowman.
Yes.
This is an Asian Bigfoot found in the Himalayas, inhabiting Nepal, Tibet, Russia, and India. The Yeti is probably the closest living relative to Gigantopithecus, a prehistoric ape that lived in Asia 300,000 years ago. And I'm going to do a happy dance because I got through Gigantopithecus without fucking it up. So
2 times now. That is impressive.
Yes. I'm literally patting myself on the back.
There you go. I feel like this brings up another point we should make, in that how many of these different Bigfoots, how many of them can just be traced back to ancient animals that have since been, caused to go extinct for one reason or the other? You know, how many of these just descend from legend from, you know, untold hundreds or thousands of years?
Mm-hmm.
And then just get passed down, and people are just like, oh yeah, no, I totally saw him. I was out with Tony behind the 7-Eleven, you know, doing blow. And I saw him. I swear to God I did. That's the Florida one, for the record. I assume the others are a bit more enlightened.
Right. We were out doing blow on the on our wind boat on the Everglades.
We were doing crank out at Tony's Fish Shack.
Joe's Crab Shack.
Yeah. Jesus. And then the last one is the Yowie, also known as the Yehu, Yuri, Hairy Man, or Yahoo, which is a fanged humanoid marsupial featured in Aboriginal mythology along with Australian raptors, bunyips, and Burrinjor. It is considered to be the Australian version of Bigfoot and contain many, and is said to contain or possess many primate-like features, possibly indicating that it is a thus far undiscovered species of great ape or prehistoric human. Is apparently the most aggressive of the Sasquatch species and has been reported as tearing off the heads of kangaroos and dogs. Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
Yeah, I like this version. I don't know why. I just...
It's not a monster, but it does monstrous things. I'm very confused, Mr. Well.
Right. Like, if you don't want to call it a monster, yet it tears the heads off of fucking kangaroos. Like, just hopping along, minding its own goddamn business, and all of a sudden...
Kangaroos are fucking tough, yo. That's number one.
Right.
So to just bust up in and yeet the head off of a fucking kangaroo that's pretty fucking impressive.
Right. Yeah, that's something else, man.
Okay, now let's get to, oh my God. The majority of mainstream scientists, aka people who are not quacks, have historically discounted the existence of Bigfoot, considering it to be a combination of folklore, misidentification, and or hoax, rather than a living creature. I like Bigfoot a lot as like folklore.
Right? I do too.
There's a really good podcast that I'm going to recommend everybody check out if they're into it or if they're so inclined. Let me pull up the name of it so I say it correctly.
Go check it out after this one. You have to finish this one first.
Yes, finish this one first because ours is obviously more important. But Wild Thing is the name of the podcast. It's available, as far as I know, wherever you get podcasts. I have an iPhone, so I got it on the podcast app, but I presume that it's available everywhere. The first season of that is a couple years old, and it's about Bigfoot. It's I don't know, a handful of episodes, 10 or so episodes, I guess.
Okay.
And the person who's in charge of that, I wish I could remember her name. She goes and does a pretty deep dive and does a lot of like traveling to different places to get information about the like local folklore of Bigfoot. It's really interesting.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think Bigfoot is definitely one of the more fun cryptids to kind of talk about and just throw out the possibility of believing in it. Like on that level of like, you want to believe, you know, going back to like the whole Mulder and Scully thing.
Sure.
But, I mean, I can see it potentially being a thing like Bigfoot, you know, cause like chickens are real, like, and they're basically dinosaurs, and dinosaurs existed like billions of years ago. And it's like a scientific fact that chickens are like direct descendants of dinosaurs.
I feel like that's a oversimplification, but okay. Well, you know what? You're kicking ass. Keep going.
That's debatable, but you know, I can see it going either way. You know, like you said, that for it to, you know, from like an evolutionary standpoint, like you could say, yeah, we evolved from monkeys. We went this way. Bigfoot went this way.
Well, David, that's where I'm going to stop you, because we were created 6,000 years ago by Skyman.
Are you sure it's not Skynet?
You just wrinkled my brain, bro.
Yeah. Or what if Skynet invented Skyman?
Was one of us?
just a stranger like on a bus?
Just a stranger on a bus trying to find his way home, man.
I don't know. Do you ever think that, holy shit, it's the fucking king of the jungle?
I don't know where. I don't know what happened here.
We're in the weeds now.
Yeah, we started in the weeds, buddy. Right. Moving right along, there is of course the Mothman.
You don't want to go over the Patterson?
No.
Yeah, there's the footage, you know, the infamous footage that everyone is kind of familiar with that gets made fun of a lot and gets mocked of.
Because it's clearly a dude in a suit, but whatever.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a dude in a suit where he's like walking and swinging his arms really wide, and then he just stops and looks at the camera. It's that footage.
Totally legit, though. Not at all staged.
Yeah, there's actually a pretty funny Joe Rogan bit where he talks about how the dude who filmed that went to jail for writing a bad check to pay for the camera equipment that he used to film that footage.
That's amazing.
So good. Anyways, yeah. So Mothman is next.
Yes.
This is the other one that I did, you know, a fair amount of research on. I don't know what it is about the Mothman, but I find him pretty intriguing. Maybe because like just all the little elements combined about Mothman that add up to just this big interest. Like most of the sightings, like there really aren't any sightings anymore. All the sightings happened in this one centralized location for the most part, which is Point Pleasant in West Virginia. And they all happened in the span of like 13 months. And then it just fucking dropped off. Like a couple of people here and there like claim to have seen something that resembled a Mothman in other parts of the country and in other countries post the 1960s, but for the most part, it was all centralized to like this one-year period. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, this one dude named John Keel, he kind of like wrote the book, literally, called The Mothman Prophecies, and that's what the movie was kind of based off of. And there's a couple different things to kind of talk about that are important to, like, I guess, understanding the Mothman. Like, there's in West Virginia, there's this place called the TNT area, which is where it's like a munitions ground. Like, in World War II, a lot of manufacturing went down there. And during that time period, West Virginia experienced like a shit ton, like a colossal shit ton of like natural disasters, like floods on floods on floods that caused like all this damage. And like, of course, all the, you know, chemicals and whatnot from the manufacturing plants in the surrounding areas, like all flooded into the water. So what I'm getting at is like, that's one of the explanations that people like to use for like, this is what could have created the Mothman. Like, this is the Mothman origin story. It's like, you know, a random bird like drank this polluted chemical water and became this giant fucking bird. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not saying it's a sound theory, but could be a cool comic book, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, if nothing else, at least.
Right. But the initial sighting was that there's two like big sightings that are really like, I guess, the most noteworthy. There's the initial sighting, which was on November 12th, 1966, which was by five grave diggers. They were out, you know, doing their thing, digging a grave for a burial. What else would they be doing?
Playing Yahtzee.
Right, Yahtzee! and I think that's how it goes. I've never played Yahtzee before, so. And they claim to have seen this brown wigged creature lifting off some nearby trees. And they were just like, yeah, that's not a fucking bird. That's like a dude with wings. And it just took off. Like, what the fuck? I'm sure that's verbatim what they said.
Yes.
it's the only thing that makes sense. So that was the first sighting. The second sighting was from these the two young couples. Excuse me. They were driving through the area and they were passing one of the old chemical plants or manufacturing plants. Sorry. And they spotted what looked like a very large bird perched on top of the plant with red, glowing red eyes. And they stopped the car to inspect it from what they thought was a safe distance. And it just like spread its wings and was like, ah, I'm gonna come at you, bitch. And just flew towards them. And so they like hightailed it back to their car and drove like backwards, or not backwards, but like back to where they were coming from. And they kind of like regained composure once they realized that they weren't being chased anymore. They were like, they kind of chalked up to like, maybe they were just seeing things collectively, the four of them. Or, you know, it was just like some strange bird that...
It was the 60s. It was badass. It's true.
Right. You know, mushrooms were everywhere. LSD was everywhere.
Condoms were nowhere. So there was a lot of weird shit going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird shit. So they chalk it up to, you know, just probably normal stuff that is concealed by nighttime. And so they go back. They backtrack to where they were going. And they see it again. And this time it's like standing in the middle of the road. And they stop and they're like, holy shit, it's fucking back. Once again, verbatim, this is exactly what they said.
Yes.
Holy shit, it's back. It's the fucking king of the jungle. and it just takes a look at them and then shoots up vertically. And
these
and
fucking guys off. Again.
Right. And it just takes off. And so that was, let's see, was that a date on that one? I don't know if there was a date for that sighting, but not soon after, the November 16th rolls around. And that is when the notorious issue of Point Pleasant Register, which was their local newspaper, they did an article about it, because this time after the their second sighting, they actually went to the police about it to be like, hey, we're seeing crazy shit. We're not just, we're not sure if we're like on drugs or seeing shit, but.
Which is something you should know.
Right. But yeah, the like I said, an issue gets published in the Point Pleasant Register with the headline, couple sees man-sized bird, ... creature, ... something, which I feel is accurate. I mean, that's...
They're really covering their bases with that one, yeah.
Right. They're just like, we don't know what to do with this. But it did basically kick off everything. Like, this little town is just known for Mothman. Like, that's... It's like this super small town that's apparently only, like, 3 miles long. But... people like every year make pilgrimages to this town to go see it. They got a fucking Mothman museum. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, like I said, over the next 13 months after these two sightings, there was like a reported over 100 sightings of the Mothman. And it all led up to the infamous collapse of the Silver Bridge on December 15th, 1967. I can't remember how many people died. I think it was like maybe 11 or 12 people, and then like 50, 55 people injured. But yeah, the bridge just collapsed. All like a shit ton of cars fell into the river. It was not a good look. But
to put it mildly, yes, it was not a good look.
Yeah. There's some debate over, you know, for lack of better words, the quote unquote purpose of the Mothman. Like, some people feel like he is a type of angel that is kind of meant to warn people of impending disaster, and others think he is like straight up Satan or the devil incarnate. So, you know, and you know, there's, if you dig deeper into the lore of Mothman, there's plenty of, I guess, arguments for both. So you can, if you're interested in learning more about the Mothman, you can, I'm not gonna,
it's allowed. Yes.
Yes. Google to your heart's content.
Yeah.
But me, I have a wife and two kids and a bustling side hustle. So yeah,
shit to do.
Yeah.
Next, we have another famous one, the Jersey Devil. Yeah, this is another pretty popular one, particularly up in the New Jersey area, obviously.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It is a creature native to the Pine Barrens of New Jersey, and its appearance... this cracks me up, David, the way you describe this. It sounds like that ranting of Michael Scott in the episode where he hits Meredith with his car, claiming they need to make some sort of animal sacrifice to lift the office curse.
That's all I could think of when I was reading the description of the Jersey Devil. Like, that scene where Michael's like, we need something that looks like the head of a meerkat and the body of a porcupine and the tail of a donkey.
The Jersey Devil is often described as having hooves, a snake's tail, bat wings, and a head that looks something like a horse. What a fucking awful looking motherfucker this guy is.
He's just having a bad run of it.
Fucking bad run of it. He's ugly as sin, and they have the audacity to call him the Jersey Devil. What a dick punch of a life this guy's had.
Right. A face, body, and torso. Well, that's redundant. Just a body that only a mother could love.
There are many stories detailing the origin of the Jersey Devil, and sightings have been reported beginning in the 1700s and continuing on until the most recent decade. At this point, it's deeply rooted in the folklore of the area, and it's still pretty popular in various media. I mean, their hockey team there is the New Jersey Devils. Right. And there's also some video games, apparently, which I know nothing about.
Yeah, I don't
know. I assume it's Pac-Man, but with a god-awful fucking creature that you have to control.
Yeah, that only makes sense. Yeah, when I was like, oh, yeah, there is the Jersey Devils. And then I immediately thought of that one episode of Seinfeld where they're like leaving the game with what's his name, was it David Putty or whatever, and he was like, we're the Devils, and like gives that old woman a fucking heart attack. She thinks he's the devil. Anyways, it's fun to laugh at old people dying.
Okay, that took a turn.
it's okay, it was in a show. I don't know, I don't really have too many thoughts or opinions on the Jersey Devil. This one was kind of new to me. Like I knew of it, but when I was doing my research, I was like, there's really not much here that I really care to explore other than the surface level stuff.
Yeah, I got some friends up in Jersey. Shout out to all my Jersey people. You got weird fucking traditions and legends and shit.
Yeah, you got some weird shit up there.
Yeah.
But up next we got old Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
This is another one that a lot of people are super familiar with.
Yeah, up there with Bigfoot, I'd say is probably the first and second most well-known.
Right.
At least in the Western world, at least.
Right, yeah, for sure. So Nessie tends to be an animal described with sleek, rubbery, blackish gray skin, about 20 feet long, usually has a serpentine body that is typical for sea serpents and lake monsters, furnished with humps along its length and one or more sets of paddles, or sometimes stumpy legs. Apparently they're referred to oftentimes. Its head is often described as roughly horse-shaped. It may have a straggly mane running down its neck, and some witnesses report small horns or a crest, especially those who see the Loch Ness Monster from close up. This head is the one that seems to appear in most of the famous Nessie photos. Ted, do you believe in the Loch Ness Monster? You think it's... I feel like it could be real.
I think... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I mean, kind of going back to our ocean conspiracies episode, like, there's some crazy shit in the ocean and shit that we just don't know about. So
I would be more tempted to believe it if this were an ocean creature and not something in a Scottish loch.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is lochs are not that big.
Sure.
Relatively speaking. Right. So for a creature the size of allegedly like a plesiosaur or something, a dinosaur, it's just not possible. Additionally, they have done a lot of testing, a lot of searching for old Nessie. And, you know, I understand that the loch system is complex and there's a lot of caves and things like that. It's just, there's nothing there. It disappointed me too, because I would have, you know, I love dinosaurs. What kid did not love dinosaurs? So I was definitely intrigued growing up by this cryptid. But I mean, there comes a time when you gotta just admit that the world is fucking joyless. And unfortunately, this is one of those times.
Right. Yep. But yeah, you know, kind of like Ted, what you were saying, a lot of the lore in terms of explaining its origin says that it could be it could hail from some sort of prehistoric dinosaur. I don't, now that you say it, like, it's, yeah, I feel like the possibility of it existing and it not being in an ocean, I didn't really consider that because I'm an idiot. Yes, my words, but you know, what are you going to do? Do you have any other thoughts on the Loch Ness Monster? We have a couple others that I wanted to ramble off or whatever, but don't really have a whole lot of information on. So.
No, I don't have anything. I don't have anything else on Old Nessie.
Okay. A few others that were suggested to us by Jeremiah and Miranda were the Jackalope, the Hopkinsville Hobgoblins, Flatwoods Monster, the Fresno Nightcrawler, and Carmel Area Creature. I looked into that one. That one was pretty interesting. And then apparently Slenderman, even though it started out as a creepypasta. Was
that like a creepypasta on 4chan?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, according to Miranda, Slenderman is considered a cryptid.
Sure.
Sure. Why not? yeah. Considering all cryptids.
Anybody can get in it now.
Yeah. Considering all cryptids are false. Yeah. Why not throw Slenderman in there?
Captain America, also a cryptid now.
shit. Okay. So yeah, Ted, that's our list of cryptids. What do you think of this list? You're convinced that it's real, right?
Well, I'm convinced that this list you put together is real. Yeah.
So much the actual content.
Not so much the contents of the list, yeah, but
for sure, yeah. It's I don't know. They're just too out of this world for me. Like it's fun to entertain the idea of some of these, but I feel like it kind of stops there with me. And you know, I don't want to alienate any of our listeners that are really absorbed in this kind of stuff. Like I don't want you to think that, you know, we're trying to shit on it. That's not really the case.
No, we joke because we love.
Yes.
Yeah. I think this of all the topics of our informal paranormal series, I find this one, other than maybe zombies, the toughest one to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. But yeah, like I said, that's it for our list. Ted, you want to do our closing segment? Closing
shipment that doesn't segment. Yes, we'll do that.
Cool. Do you want me to go first?
Sure, if you want
to. So I have been rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I started watching it about a year and a half ago. Just because like everyone was fucking raving about it. And plus it's one of the co-creators of The Office and Parks and Rec. So I was like, yeah, how bad could it be? And it was like legit super fucking funny. And then like I powered through it real quick. And then got to like the last season and was just burnt out and then never finished it. And then the other day I was like, oh yeah, I never fucking finished Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So I picked it back up again from the beginning. And, yeah, that shit is like so fucking funny. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's my pick. Ted, what you got?
Yeah. My girlfriend was just watching that the other day. I think she just finished it as well.
Okay.
I'm familiar with a little bit of it. I know you've sent me that one cold open like 12 times.
Sorry. It's just
you sent it to me the other day and I was just like I was tempted to go back through my text messages because I think you sent these same series of texts like a week and a half ago.
Probably.
But I was like he's not hurting nobody. Let him enjoy it. It's fine.
And the one that the cold open we're talking about is the Backstreet Boys one.
he's like chills in a lineup.
Chills, literal chills. And she's like, yeah. It's number five. He's the one that killed my brother. He's like, oh, I forgot we were doing that. So fucking funny. yeah, anyways, go ahead.
So I'm going to cheat. I'm going to pick a series of films that I watched recently. As I've talked about on the podcast before, I'm trying to do 365 new movies this year, one a day, roughly. These are all new. I'd seen some of them previously, but I'd not seen the whole series, and that is Lone Wolf and Cub. How to describe these movies? They fucking rule. That's how I would describe these movies. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Lone Wolf and Cub was a fairly long-running and very popular manga series in Japan about a disgraced samurai, the Shogun's executioner, and his son, who became Lone Wolf and Cub, the assassin for hire. They cranked out 6 of these movies over the course of like 2.5 or 3 years in the 70s. They are all... I feel like they're the type of movies you either really like or you don't. They have varying levels of budget, varying levels of believable effects, varying levels of believability in general. There are 6 of them, like I said, and I loved all of them. I watched them all over the course of like a week and a half, 2 weeks, and they fucking rule. I love Chambara films like these, and I watched them on the Criterion channel. And then they had their flash sale, Criterion Collection had their flash sale, and I picked up all 6 movies, the box set, during that. These movies are fucking insane. I love them.
Right on. This sounds good. Maybe I'll check them out whenever we start pre-gaming for our Kung Fu month or series, that whenever we get around to doing it.
Whenever we get to it, yeah. Our Kung Fu and John Barr series, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming down the pike, folks. We promise. We've been talking about it for a while now, but it'll get like here.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll get here.
Speaking of things coming down the pipe, as the saying goes, David, pretty big movie coming out here soon.
Yes. That is a play on words, kind of.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yep.
Coming out here at the end of the month of March. Over the next few weeks, we're going to dedicate a lot of time to both of those characters, Godzilla and Kong, as well as when the movie comes out, do an episode or maybe 2. We haven't fully fleshed out our plans on that yet. But it's going to be dope.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime a giant lizard and a giant monkey fight, it's probably cool as shit. I don't know what y'all expect Kong to do, but he's going to learn today.
Yeah. We're excited for it. Whatever happens. But yeah, we're stoked about this little mini series, that we're going to do. You know, we're going to talk about some Kong films and talk about some Godzilla films, and then, tie the whole thing up with a discussion on Godzilla versus Kong.
Well, David, this was, fun episode.
Fun episode, question mark. No, it was a good time. I had a good time talking about this shit. You know, it's like we said, it's fun to kind of gab about this and theorize what it might be like if the shit was real. It's all not, but you know,
it's definitely bullshit.
That's besides the point.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks everybody for tuning in. As always, you can find us on all the social medias just by doing a search for the Geek Garage. You can find us on find our website at geekgaragepodcast.com, which has all the links, and they're also in the show notes or show description on the podcast. If you have not subscribed, please do so. It costs you nothing.
Yes.
Not a thing. Yep. Just your you know, your pride. Something that's not free that you could do to support us, you could become a Patreon. Patrons get a lot of cool perks for not a lot of money. There's a $2 tier and a $5 tier. Both come with their own sets and things. I think one of the things that both tiers get is that you get a free nifty custom, maybe not custom, but a free nifty button and sticker set.
Yep.
That says you support us, so you can tell all your friends that you waste money frivolously.
yep.
As well as some other cool things that we've got coming down the pipeline as well for patrons, like helping us program the show.
Yep.
That is a privilege, not a right. David, anything else?
No, that's all well said. Like you said, with our patrons, they get their own private Facebook group. That's kind of our primary.
It's very elite.
Yes.
We're going to get them members only jackets, but only for their Facebook. So it's like a members only jacket for your Facebook profile. It looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it will undoubtedly. But yeah, they're the ones that helped us decide on the Avengers Bracket Brawl. We didn't really mention anything during this episode about that, but it is still going on this month. It'll be going on until the end of the month, and they're the ones that helped us decide on it.
Yes, and the winner of the Avengers Bracket Brawl, if it's not Wanda Maximoff, we're going to riot.
Yeah.
Because that's the correct answer.
Yeah, there's been a lot of pissed off people that their person didn't beat out the other person they were facing.
Well, Wanda Maximoff rewrote the human genetic sequence so the mutants didn't exist anymore. So, you know, you come at me when Captain America can do that. How's that sound?
Yeah, for real.
Have a great week, everybody.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in, and be kind, stay geeky, and eat lots of cheesecake.
Bye. Peace.